Shalom Aleichem. By Yetze Beis, it's a magnificent sicha, originally said on Shabbos Parshas by Yetze, which was Tes Kislev Tavshin Lamed Beis, 1971. And the unedited version, the original sicha, is an incredible exploration. It goes much more beyond what the Mugadika sicha, the edited version of the sicha, goes. But let's focus on the sicha and try to bring some insights and some things that maybe come across more in the unedited version to just bring a reichkeit, to bring a richness to the sicha. The original Farbengen, the Rebbe spoke about Dina and her name and how her name came about, but that doesn't play out in the sicha. Over here, the sicha talks about Reuven. Vatar Leah falls pregnant and she gives birth and she calls her son Reuven because she says, Ra'a Hashem ba'ani, Hashem saw my poverty, my emotional poverty, and now my husband will love me. Comes Rashi and says, Vatikla Shmei Reuven, and she called him Reuven and explains. Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Rabbi Seinu explained that she said, Reuma ben Gdi leben Chami, look at the difference between my son and my father-in-law's son. Shemach Rabbi Chalal Yaakov, my father-in-law's firstborn son, Esav, sold his Bechayla. Vezel Leimachalal Yosef. And my son Reuven does not sell his firstborn son to rights to Yosef, and does not cause and is not angry at him when Yosef does get the firstborn rights. And even more so, even more so, not only does he not fight it, but he is willing to take him out of the bar. When Yosef is thrown out, thrown into the bar in Parshas Vayeshev with through the brothers. Fedexik the Shaila, ask the Shaila. Rashi comes and says a statement, which Rebbe is the foundation of all the Rebbe Sikhas and Rashi. I'm only here to say Pshat. How in the world? Like, why do we have to get here? What's wrong in the Pshat? What's wrong? My husband will love me. Mazel tov. Now, more than that, Rashi goes in something and says it's Hepech. He goes punk far karet, the opposite of what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Hashem saw my poverty, now my husband will love me. Comes Rashi and says, not that my husband will love me, but rather she says, she's saying a statement. Look at the difference between me and my son. Nothing to do with my husband, love me, nothing. Just look at the difference. Why should I look at the difference? Now, even though the Pshat of Rashi originally is from the Gemara in Brachos, we know that Rashi says, El pshat shemirka, I only come to say pshat. And whenever I bring agada, it's only something that fits into the pshat and is necessary. So what's necessary? So there are some mefarshim that it brings from chidush agadas, marsha, etc., that the reason the pasuk, when the pasuk says kida Hashem ba'ani is not enough, is because that only explains the first half of the name, the u. But what does that have to do bein? And therefore, focus b'ni lebein chami, the ula, the difference between my son and others. But the Rebbe says, Rashi, you don't have to get there. Why? First of all, if Rashi says that he has the reason why he has to bring another reason is because that's re'u and this is bein, he should mention it. Also, it's not such a shiloh. We see other times. You could say that the word bein is be'ani. Connects with that. We see other times throughout the Torah, Shamayim is Shamayim, even though you don't necessarily find the double mem or the Shah, the Aleph. You get the point. So like the fact that there's lacking a few letters, it's not the end of the world. And Rebbe has a huge conversation over here about letters and the role they play in the tons of footnotes, footnote 9 to footnote 15. But fundamentally, why does Rashi need to get there? Say that bang, it's whatever fits Bani, except also you have to understand, Leah says the Umam Bni. Why is she focusing on, and Rashi's choosing to focus on something that will happen much more in the future, a Vaita Nevua, a prophecy that's going to happen very much in the future, and something that's negative about the Reuven, the fact that the Bechor was taken away from the Reuven because of his sin, mixed up his father's bed, and the fact that Yosef was put in a pit, why don't you just say something that's much more positive and something that's going to happen much more very soon in the future? My brother-in-law, Esav ben Chami, stole. And my son, by the Dudaim, as we say in the V, in Parshas Vayetze, he didn't go to take the things that belonged to somebody else, and like Pashat Yadir Begezel, but rather he went and took what was hefty. Also, in the Rashi itself, it's problematic because he goes different than the Gemara. The Gemara says that my son, my brother-in-law, the son of my father-in-law, even though he sold the Bechayda, nevertheless he hated Yaakov. But my son, even though Yosef took his Bechayda by kind of without his choice, nevertheless he won't be jealous of him. In other words, the difference between Esav and the Reuven is the jealousy. Esav is jealous and the Reuven's not jealous. But Rashi doesn't bring about the jealousy at all. He just talks about that Esav was nonchalant and gives away the Bechayda, and Reuven doesn't give away the Bechayda. But that's not what the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about that the Bechayda is taken away and he doesn't hold a grudge. Rashi adds, "Veloy ided alav." He didn't cause problems, and not only that, he took him out the Bechayda. Now, then you should contrast. If that's the mile of Reuven, that he takes his brother out of the bird, then contrast it with Esav, that he caused problems with the Bechayda, etc. But we don't mention anything in Rashi like that. And that he wanted to kill Yaakov. So what's the explanation of all this? Beautiful, beautiful, whole new insight. Says the devil like this. The simple reason that she says that Hashem saw my poverty and now my husband will like me. Yeah, it makes sense. It will cause her husband to like her. Usually that's the way it works. You have a child that brings love. The problem is over here, it doesn't work like that so easily. Why? Because he says, "Ki ata, now my husband will love me." Why? Maybe not now. Why? Because this was a few months after they got married. We didn't even know yet. Yaakov doesn't know yet that Rachel is barren. So she's falling pregnant, has a baby, and Rachel will have a baby. So how do you know this will cause the love? Second of all, how do you know the son is going to be a good kid that's going to go in the decent path and give nachas? Maybe he'll be a disappointment. Especially that we have, unfortunately, quite a legacy. Avram's first son goes off the path. Yitzchak's first son goes off the path. So why should you think Yaakov's jumping up and down from the first son? And that might cause even worse. That could cause a distance between the husband and wife if the kid doesn't follow their path. So therefore, Rashi says there has to be something unique about the fact that this is the Uvin, not only the fact that she has a baby now. Elamai, Rabbi Seinu Pirshu, Rabbi Seinu explain, in other words, they add on to explain the words Ati Yavani Ishi, because the son enough is not, to have a son is not enough. And explains the Umma Ben Nila Ben Chami, and that explains why Yavani Ishi. And that's why Rashi brings the point that the Uvein does not sell it and no other Mila, because that brings out the Mila of the Pasuk. Why? Because what are we talking about? We're talking about the Ben Bechar Liyakir, the fact that he's a firstborn. So we focus on the Mila that has to do with the firstborn itself. The unlike the previous firstborn, Esav, who sold his rights, Reuven doesn't. And Rashi says more than that. He doesn't even fight it when Yosef takes it away and he takes him out of the bird. Which means that even though Yaakov loved Rachel and he wanted to have children, nevertheless, when he has such a great son from Leah, incredible, nevertheless, Yaakov takes the Bechor away from him and gives it to Yosef. Nevertheless, Reuven doesn't complain, even though his father loves Yosef's son more. And he takes him out of the bur. And over there, the Rebbe says in the other, and it's much more brought out in the unedited, with the original Sicha, where the Rebbe says, think about it. If he allowed Yosef to stay in the pit, the firstborn right might go back to him. Yosef dies, who's he going to go back to by default? So he has an opportunity here to get back his first rights, and just by doing nothing, shave out Isa, do nothing. He still goes and saves Yosef, knowing that now he's going to regain his firstborn rights, Yosef. That is the incredible level of Reuven. And the Rebbe says that that's what a chassid is. A chassid tzar from him, burns his nails, even though it's going to cause problems because he sees the incredible mila of helping another Yid. Unbelievable insight on Reuven. And that's why the Rebbe says you don't have to focus on the fact, contrast it so much with Esav, because the point is not how bad Esav is. The incredible point is how amazing Reuven is. And that's why it says Pirshu, that we say the Pirshu, not other that we say, because it's an explanation. Rashi's not negating what the Pasuk says, he's just adding on to it. He's giving a deeper meaning to why Atu Yavani Ishi. So that is the end of the part of the Sicha al Pipshat. Now the Rebbe goes, the second half of the Sicha, really focusing on Yena Shel Torah, the Chassidus element, specifically focusing on names. We find the difference between the way the Shvatim were given names to the way the Avos were given names. The Shvatim were given the names by the Imahos. However, the Avos, Yitzchak and Yaakov, got it from, well, Avram got it from Hashem, and the rest was given by Avram, etc., or the people around, but it wasn't specifically the mother. And also we see a difference that by the Shvatim, there's always a reason why they get the name, and the Avos, there's no reason, clearly in the Torah. Al-Kain Kadot. There's a reference there because there was laughter. So Yitzchak, Yaakov, that he touched the legs. So therefore, Korishma Yaakov, but it's not Al Kain. It's not a strong connection. The Torah doesn't explicitly say why he was given the name. So in order to explain the difference between the Avos and the Shvatim in regards to names, you have to explain the idea of a name. It says that ever we know, that Chassidus explains, starting from the Magid, that a name is not just like, oh, an agreeable word. We decide that this person's name is Chaim. But it has a shaykhus to the etzem adav, to the essence of the thing. Elamai, it doesn't necessarily associate to the neshama the way the neshama is by itself, because the neshama, before coming into a guf, doesn't have a name at all. Rather, the way, when the neshama comes into the guf, the name connects the neshama, it's the bridge. It's the sewing that sews the neshama into the guf and bringing the chayus of the neshama into the guf. Now, in regards to the way the name infiltrates, brings the neshama into the guf, the chayus in the guf, there's two ways. In general, it gives the neshama to the guf, the general idea, the adam, the human being, and then there's specifically each person in their own individual element. Because there's a generic idea that we're human, and that's a mission of the name to bring it, but then specifically to connect it, and then specifically each and every one of us are individuality. Now, Torah explains that the others, each one of us, in Karim Avis al-Shlesha, each one of us has the others, but you only have the three, you don't have the Shvatim. The Shvatim, you could have a few, you could have one, etc. So the others and the Shvatim, it's not only he says that the Avos, each one of us has the Shvatim, we don't necessarily have, but more than that. The Avos, because they're the source of Am Yisrael, each one of us from our essence, because we're part of Am Yisrael, we have that equality. We have that same element, just like we're a human being. We have that common denominator of the Avos. But the Shvatim is a specific element which divides us, in other words, makes us separate. It's not the common denominator. Just like the difference we said, the two points that connect the neshama to the guf, number one, the general, and number two, the specific. So the Avos are the general and the Shvatim are the specific. So what's the difference between the names of the Avos and the names of the Shvatim? The names of the Avos is a general Amshacha. The names of the Shvatim is a specific Amshacha, the way it comes out, individuality. And that's why it was given by the mothers, by the Shemesh Shvatim. We know the difference between a father and mother regarding giving birth, that the etzem mitzius, the existence of the ben, comes from the father. But the way it expresses itself and the way it opens up and fully develops into full, you know, infant is through the mother's womb for 9 months. And Rebbe says, interesting, you also find that difference after birth, that there's a deeper essence connection between a son and a father, even though begilui, a son gets along much easier with the mother. You know, it's easier. By father, it's more moira. It's not necessarily the same ava. But Rebbe says, but etzem, it's there. And let me totally go out of my ballpark over here. But the psychology today shows that most men's issues have to do with their relationships with their father. Even though you think, big deal, they have a good relationship with their mother. Because again, it's essence. A kesher with an av is something fundamental, specifically for a man. Back to the sicha. Forgive what I just said. And therefore it says, that's why they're called, Avanima called Chachma Ubina, father and mother. Chachma is the Kuda, and Bina is the way it expresses. So the Shvatim are the expression, and that's the way it comes up in Gili through the mother, the feminine energy. and they call the name. They bring out the individuality, but the essence comes from the others. And that name is it's not specific, it comes direct, just because, Azoy, that's the connection between the person and the neshama. But we have to understand the names that are brought in the parsha don't necessarily show us a connection to the Avodah. They talk about more than mothers. Reuven has nothing to do with Reuven. It's the Hashem Ba'ani. And therefore comes Rashi by the Reuven and says, no, we're going to focus on the Uma B'ni L'Ben Chami. I'm not focusing on my feelings now. I'm focusing on him. There's a connection between his Avodah. And I'll then say another boy in other names as well. Apia now, and in the unedited version, that goes more into that Nikudah. According to this, we could explain the Derech Hesher, possibly. The connection between Parshas Vayetze to Tess Kislev, which was that year, the birthday and the yard site of the Mitlulev. Why? What's the difference between the Altulev and the Mitlulev? Altulev is Fisachach. Mitlulev is Bina, the way it comes out and expresses Chassidus, the Chayvah Sanar, expansiveness. And that's like Kriyas Hashemus, which is this week's Parsha, all the names of the Shvatim. And because of the expansiveness of Bina, and the Rebbe over here quotes from Beis Rebbe and Sefer Sichus, as when Zvei Yidin Tefen Sich Zon Zirev and Chassidus, two people should meet and talk about Chassidus. Or as it says in Sefer Sichus, Yunga Light, Fashtein and Kesed, and Yifin and Vinger, that is actually didn't, if we understood in Kesed the way we know about our five fingers, a bit of that would be happy. So that brings the unbelievable expansiveness that when Yidin talk about Chassidus all over the place, Afatas Mayanus Chutzah, and that brings causing my dog Malka Meshicha, Mirza Hashem, should be taken from Miyad Mamish. Just a beautiful, beautiful Fabrik.